and welcome. Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVlante is on 720 WGN, high above the city in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Oh, my goodness. Couldn't be a more gorgeous day to be floating high above Chicago, looking out at the lake, which seems calm, but we know underneath, terribly, terribly turbulent and dangerous. We'll get more of those updates. You just heard Tom talking about that, and Ryan telling people to stay out of the water. We'll find out what's going on with Tom Skilling after the 3:30 news. A big, big show planned. It's always more fun when you're involved. 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text number. Use them prudently. If you want to stay in touch via social media, it's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. When you call in today, you'll be talking to Jeff Kylan, the executive producer of the big broadcast. If you're nice to him, you get to me. The rules apply whether I'm here during the week or on the weekend. It doesn't matter. Treat the producers with respect. That's what I say. And then I can browbeat them. But that's not your job. That's our job here as the people behind the microphones. So it should be a good day. We've got a lot going on. We are going to talk to Dari Albinger in just a few minutes. As you know, this morning at 12:01 a.m., tariffs went into effect against China. So China, of course, saying they are going to retaliate. There's been threats that if China does retaliate, maybe we'll go up add another $400 billion in tariffs. We'll see. We'll get the lowdown from Daria in just a little bit. And then, as I mentioned, Tom Skilling will join us after 3:30. We are going to talk about the big protest on the Dan Ryan tomorrow. I know our great producer Brian is going to be down there. There's going to be supposedly now thousands of people are going to be joining Father Flager on the Dan Ryan. We'll talk about that a little bit, get your thoughts on that. Then we'll have some fun with some riders. The Taste of Chicago riders came out today. Oh, my goodness. Shocking. Shocking. But even more shocking what some of the other people are getting. Top 5 at 5, and then the Carnarvon Wagon, because it is Friday, and you can't do the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes without a couple cocktails. I think that's all week. You really need those, especially the guys behind the glass. You need a few drinks to get you through the entire week, but Friday is always a good one. The folks from the Irish American Heritage Center and Ballyhoo Irish Whiskey are coming in, and Kevin, I've been told that it's not just going to be shots, which I was fine with, mm-hmm. but they're actually going to be whipping us up some cocktails.
Beautiful. That's how we kick off the weekend.
That's not a bad way to wrap things up. No. And then we are going to hear some music from Rory Carroll. She's going to come in, and I just want to give you this. People say, "Well, how can you describe Rory Carroll? What kind of music does she do?" And let me read you this sentence describing Rory Carroll from Rolling Stone. Rory Carroll is a hobo, a convict, a former drug trafficker, an Appalachian Trail hiker, and a trained stowaway, but none of that quite compares to how bravely she talks about love. That's not a bad...
I'm intrigued.
Me too. Because if that was my epitaph,
that's awesome.
Man, I must have lived a full life.
Right?
And it's not like she's 80. I think she's only early 30s. So to have all of those descriptors of you by the time you're in your mid-30s, you're a pretty interesting person.
That's a roller coaster of a life right there.
Yeah, so we're going to find out all about that when she comes in. She's got some local gigs coming up, and she has an album out, so we're going to hear some music from Rory coming up after 6 o'clock. And then, of course, we're out of here early because White Sox baseball. But let me tell you this, not the most important thing, but a very, very important thing. You need to keep listening after 6 o'clock, not only to hear Rory Carroll, but for your chance to win a family 4-pack of passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton, Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. And if we have some time, I'm hoping we do have some time, because before the show, Kevin, you weren't privy to this, mm-hmm. but Violetta was talking to Jeff and myself, and has an idea for a new invention.
Mm.
And so we're going to do like
she's big on inventing
things. It's going to be like a little Shark Tank. If Violetta
cool.
is game
Wait,
to share
I'm not
her,
ready. I'm
you're not,
not
ready?
I haven't even made a prototype.
This is exciting. I'll play the role of Mr. Wonderful. He's my favorite on Shark Tank.
Yeah, so Violetta. Well, you can just give us the broad strokes, Violetta.
Okay.
We thought
sell us on it.
Yes, we thought it was such an intriguing idea that we thought, well,
I'm working with some names, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, names for the product. I thought you meant like big name celebrities or something.
Oh, no, I'm not that.
So you've already got endorsement deals in place.
I'm already talking to Walmart.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, they're the biggest retailer.
I'd contact Amazon. I hear they're doing big things in the retail game.
They might be. Yeah, they might.
How do you spell that?
Amazon. Okay.
Okay, it's one of those online businesses, so I don't know if that's going to catch on.
Can you get me a number, Kevin? You know a guy?
you could just Google it. That's another company that may take off, I hear. There's all these internet startups. The kids have big ideas.
Right.
That's why in
large
in that
aspirations.
Spirit, yes, they're all shooting for the stars. They've got their feet on the ground and they're reaching for the stars, as Casey Kasem used to say.
When do we hear what this invention is? Is this a radio tease, or are we doing it now?
No, it's a long tease.
Oh, classic radio tease.
Oh, sure. This is I'm like in the grifters. I go for the long con.
I like it.
So I tease something. I may not talk about this till Sunday show.
But, I might not even want to talk about it when it comes up.
Exactly.
We've already brought it up. You got to do it now, Vila. There's got to be a payoff to the tease.
Yeah, you can give us something abstract. You don't have to give us all the finer points.
I just want to invent something. Is that so hard to ask for?
Well, I think it is. Or else I think everybody would be inventing things if it was easy.
I know, but
I had this idea
for a
device where you could talk to somebody from a long distance.
Well,
like,
that sounds like
it up and put
shoot.
A number in there, and then suddenly you'd be able to talk to them. But it was a
that's never going
to
happen.
It was a hassle, so I decided to just shelve that idea. I keep looking to see if Ryan has come back to the desk, but he's not there. So we will.
We're busy in the newsroom.
He's at one of the other like 10 desks in our.
Yeah, I know he's very very busy.
Here.
So we'll just go to traffic trouble spots, and then we will find out what's coming up on the news at 3:30. Violetta. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 on WGN-TV. Brian Noonan in for Roe and Anna. They will be back on Monday. They are taking care of their the rest of their holiday vacation. Well, as you know, this morning at 12:01 a.m., a trade war between the U.S. and China kicked off. The president had been threatening this, and now the U.S. started adding 25% tariffs on $34 billion worth of Chinese goods. China has promised to retaliate. What is the latest? I don't know. Well, we all are wondering. The only one who might know for sure is Daria Albinger. She is an ABC News correspondent. She is in New York. Daria, thank you for taking some time this afternoon.
My pleasure. And you know what? There's so many questions and so few answers about this.
Well, that's just it. And I'm going to pepper you with some more questions, hoping that we can try to figure out at least some of the answers for this. In the short term, how is this going to really impact consumers? Because that's what we want to know. How are our pocketbooks going to be affected by all of this?
All right. Unlike the first round of tariffs, if you remember, this all started with tariffs on imported steel and aluminum, right?
Right.
And, you know, that was more for manufacturers that are making things like jets and are making things like cars. And they're the ones that mainly felt the brunt of it. Of course, they're going to pass some of that additional
sure.
cost on to us. This is something that you might feel a little more quickly because it's mainly on electronics that are made in China. So let's say you have a cell phone that's mm-hmm. made in China. It's going to cost a little more. Let's say you have earbuds. You need to replace those earbuds. That's going to cost a little bit more. Say the charger, that's also made in China. That's going to cost a little bit more. So while it may not be much, you know, on a case-by-case basis, it will start to add up. And eventually, if this trade impasse is not breached, is not reached, an agreement of a new one of any kind, then we could see more things, you know, that are slapped with tariffs. So anything that is made in China, and we all know how many things are made in China, could cost you more.
Well, we're already starting to hear reports and hear people worry that the holiday shopping season is going to be affected, that if things have not been imported before, because retailers, as we know, you know, they're ordering things well before the holidays. This is the time things are coming in.
Right.
So they're saying that may be the time when consumers really start feeling it.
Absolutely. When you start doing your holiday shopping, you probably will start feeling it because a lot of things, especially toys, are made overseas, are made in China. And that's going to cost more. And we all know we spend the bulk of our holiday budget a lot of times on the kids. So
right.
that toy budget is probably going to have to be increased a little bit more. Also, I mean, think about, you know, farmers. They're such a big part of the U.S. economy. They're already feeling it.
Now,
you know, we spoke to a soybean farmer, especially in the Midwest, where agriculture,
sure.
you know, is such a big thing, and pork production in the Midwest is such a big part of the, you know, of the economy. We spoke to a soybean farmer in Indiana early today, right after the tariffs took effect, and the guy, you could almost hear the palpable worry in his voice. He said he was getting $2 less a bushel for soybeans now, which doesn't sound like a whole lot. But when you consider how many soybeans are produced and how much of it is exported mainly to China, that's a lot of money that they're going to lose.
Now, the market has been kind of... They've been shrugging this off today, but that's because they've been worrying about this trade war for the last month, and the market took a hit about a month ago when these talks first started. So this is this doesn't show us that people aren't worried about it. It's just the worry happened a little while ago, and then we'll figure it out as things move forward.
It did. And if we didn't see a job report that was as robust as this one was today, we probably wouldn't have seen the stock market finish like we did today. Because, you know, 95 points, nobody's going to complain about 95 points on the plus side, but 95 points is not a huge close by any stretch of the imagination.
Now, the president has said that if China retaliates with their own tariffs, which they say they're going to do, that possibly he will institute more tariffs, possibly up to $400 billion worth of tariffs. We see he's not joking, but based on these tariffs that he's put in now, what kind of agreement are they looking for, are we looking for, to try to offset or head these off, these more potential tariffs?
That's where, Brian, it gets, you know, so murky, because he says he wants an agreement that benefits Americans, that benefits American trade, that puts America on the same level as our trading partners, because he says that our agreements that are in place now, you know, are not fair to the United States. But when he's pressed to ask, well, what do you mean? Give us an example. He doesn't really provide a lot of details. But that seems to be the way that, you know, that he's gone about most of his economic policies. It's going to be great. You're going to see. And then he releases it. And in some cases, it works. You know, you could argue that the tax plan has been something that has worked, where, you know, we didn't get a whole lot of details before it came out. And that seems to be how he's going about this as well.
Now, has there been any comment from the White House today based on China's reaction?
None yet today.
Nothing.
No, we haven't heard anything yet today. But then again, the president is in New Jersey for the weekend.
Nice.
Haven't even seen any tweets yet so far today.
Now, we're getting, the soybean prices today at the close, you were mentioning that, the farmer that you talked to earlier, that they went down. But, but at the end of the day, those prices were up again, weren't they?
They were up, but then again, most of the commodities market was up today.
That could change.
Because we're looking right now. What you're seeing right now are things that were harvested a couple of weeks to a couple of months ago. You know, that was the deliveries for that. What you're going to see for the deliveries that were made in the last couple of weeks are in the weeks to come. You know, watch the commodities market in the months and the weeks to come. Watch the stock market in the months and the weeks to come, because things could be very different.
Now, so as we look at this, and we're, can you give us the short term effect, and then if a new agreement is not reached, what's going to be the long term effect of this? Because the last time we were in a trade war, it did not end well.
No, it did not end well. I mean, you could see a lot of farmers going bankrupt. You could see a lot of farms having to lay off a lot of people. You could see a lot of businesses that rely on foreign materials really feeling it. And most importantly, if those businesses are going to have to pay more for foreign materials, they're going to pass those costs along somewhere, and you know where they're going to pass them.
Yes. Again, we go back to the beginning. It's right to our pocketbooks.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's really interesting, and this is all playing out, you know, just a few months before the midterm elections. And some are saying, why would he do this now? This seems to be such a risky thing to do at this point in time. But his base loves this. They say this is great.
Right.
So, you know, it's all very interesting right now.
Because it goes to what the president has been saying since he was campaigning. Mm-hmm. So, well,
this should not surprise anybody. He said America first. He wanted American consumers to consume American products. He wanted American manufacturers to be the go-to for the American consumer.
Well, let's see how it works out. We'll keep our fingers crossed, and we will keep checking back with you, Daria. We appreciate the time this afternoon. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Take
you
care.
You too.
That's Daria Albinger from ABC News. She's in New York. Ryan Burroughs News in 2 minutes on WGN. It is indeed Beautiful day in Chicago. The sky is blue. The weather is fantastic. I drove into work with the windows down in the car today, which is always a treat. I like it. On days like this, I revert back to teenage Brian. I crank the music way up, roll the windows down, back to the days when my car didn't have air conditioning, and it was wonderful. We're going to talk to Tom Skilling. Our conversation is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Tom, how long will I be able to have the windows down, cranking up my jams,
by
and just
way,
cruising?
You're still talking on Lakeshore Drive about you coming down with the radio running, you know, something about noise pollution.
I am breaking
like
every noise ordinance in the metro area, Tom.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's nice to have a police escort like that, you know, when they come after you to tell you to turn the radio down a little bit, but that's all right.
If they catch me, Tom, then I'll do it. If,
yeah.
You know, right now, I'm going to keep rolling.
You do it, Brian. I'll tell you. Hey, is this beautiful?
It is gorgeous.
It
now,
is.
And yesterday when we talked, we were, you know, there was so much severe weather going through. And so we had to get right to that. But today we come in and
beautiful.
It's, oh my goodness. And yet, as beautiful as it is, you may think, oh, I'm going to go to the beach today. Well, that's fine, but you can't go in the water. So
and
we
and
always have to pay a price.
I was looking at the beaches. There are gangs of people out there. So,
sure.
You know, people are there, but I know a few people are in the water. So they're abiding by the, you know, the cautionary notes regarding the potential for rip currents and waves.
Anytime, now, you mentioned in your forecast, Brian, that this is what we get when we have northeast winds. Why? Explain that.
Well, you know, what happens is there's a vast movement of water as the winds interact with, when you have one of these full-fetched northeast winds, you move a lot of water at the surface, and that starts setting up some currents in the lake that lead to the formation of these so-called rip currents. So anytime you get one of these full-fetch, elevated northeast wind setups, you get waves, because there's a lot of time for that wind to transfer kinetic energy to the lake surface in the form of waves, and you also get water movement that can set up these currents. And so it's a good time to be careful, because there's no fighting that water. I mean, you are...
Did you get caught in one?
I got caught in one out in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I was out there. Scariest thing that ever happened. I've swum in bodies of water since I was a little kid. And maybe that's part of the problem.
You know, you get too confident?
Yeah, you get confident and all, and then you realize you're not a spring chicken anymore. And so, you know, I remember, you know, how often have I said swing, you know, always remember if you get caught in one of these, don't fight it.
Right.
Swim at a right angle to it when you feel the currents let up some. And I tried all that, and it didn't work. And what you realize is that, you know, those are basic rules, but the bottom line is there's just certain times you shouldn't be in there fiddling with the water. And so much for, I'll never do that again. I'll tell you.
No. Now, did you see, were there warnings up, and you just thought to yourself, well, I'm Tom Skilling.
No,
I can do whatever I want.
Well, you know, there's partly that, and no, there's not.
It's good to be honest, Tom. Good for you.
No, you know what, Brian? I'll tell you. I'm a weather forecaster. We know what it is to fall down on these predictions sometimes, so we're not overconfident. I'll tell you that. Mother Nature has a way of humbling you.
Oh, but, sure.
But you know what? No, it was an unpatrolled beach at the end of Kauai, and it's a beautiful beach. It just went on forever. But they had no lifeguards or anything there, and I'd been swimming in the days up to that point and had no trouble. But, boy, I got in trouble. And you know what's interesting? Anne Hathaway, the actress,
yes.
I remember reading a couple of months later that she got in trouble out there. And, in fact, I gather there's so many drownings on this island that they were thinking of, as part of the procedure on these flights going into Hawaii, running a swimming safety tape on the way in on the flight in, and making everybody who's flying to Hawaii watch those things.
Well, that's a good way to start off your vacation. You've
yeah.
been saving up to go to Hawaii forever, and on the way into the airport, like,
know.
You know what?
You
could die.
Yeah.
Don't go in the water. It'll kill you. Enjoy
right.
your stay.
Yeah.
Grab a pineapple, and
other than
we'll
that,
see
have
later.
A wonderful time,
yes.
and don't touch the lava.
You don't know? Touch the lava. Don't touch the coral. Don't swim near anything sharp.
Yeah. And now they're telling, I gather, they're going to ban certain forms of sunscreen. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
Yeah. Apparently,
why?
There's, well, because it kills coral.
Oh, really?
Apparently some of the chemicals in it. Now, I don't know which ones are banned or whether they're actually going to go through with it, but it was being discussed in some article I read. And, you know, I'm sure there's probably an alternate we can use.
Do you ever think that it might just be people who live in Hawaii saying, we're sick of people coming? there's too many of you people from the mainland, too many people from other countries. We like it the way it is. Let's make it sound as scary as possible.
Well, if you've ever gone out there, you know, you have to fill out that little form as you're flying in from the agriculture department out there that says, I'm not transporting any snakes in or any, you know, insects or anything like that. And you can understand that. That's a very fragile environment, not used to being, you know, having imported predators in.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy who introduces some frog to Hawaii that kills all the sugar cane.
That's exactly
That's not the move you want.
And you know what's interesting? The thing I found interesting about Hawaii that I didn't know is, you know, I always thought they grew pineapples out there, and they do in places, but it's not the big pineapple producer anymore. I guess it's been, they've decided it was too expensive to ship the things out of there, and there are other cheaper places from which they send them. But you can buy pineapples out there.
You'd have to be able to, or people would be disappointed. It'd be like not selling Hawaiian shirts in Hawaii.
That's right.
People would be like, what? I came over here for a shirt. Right. Sorry, we don't have them anymore.
I know.
They're all being made in Eugene, Oregon.
Well, that's probably it, or China, or something like that, you know?
Well, not anymore.
No, that's right.
We've got to get some American Hawaiian shirts.
Right,
It's all going to be very, very expensive. Now, you mentioned the winds having the major effect on the situation we're seeing in the lake.
Yes.
Does geography play any part of it? Is, like you mentioned, being on the tip of Kauai, does the shoreline...
Oh, you mean out in Hawaii?
Well, even here.
Wide open
shoreline as opposed to like points, things like that?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you know, the shape of the shoreline, the depth of the water along the shoreline and the varying depths, there are all kinds of things. You know, when they produce these storm surge models for hurricanes along the coastline, they have to take that all into account, because the way the water piles up on certain parts of the shoreline is quite different based on the geography of that shoreline. And the same thing would be true out in Hawaii as well. So, Brian, there's no question about it. These currents are affected, and where you're more vulnerable to rip currents and all would be affected very much by the type of shoreline, the depth of the water at that point of the shoreline, and everything else. And whether you've got piers out there and breakwaters, and so all these things interact to produce the complex current arrangement that we have along the shoreline that can get a little overwhelming at times when you have these full-fetched northeast winds.
Well, the pictures we're seeing coming off Lake Michigan today, it's almost like you're on, you know, the east or west coast by the ocean watching these waves crash. And I always enjoy seeing that on the lake. I know
I
it's not
too.
Not the best if you want to go swimming, but to look at it, it's terrific.
Oh, it is such a magnificent thing to watch. You know what else is interesting is the turbidity or dirtiness of the water. When you get churning with wave action, you'll get some sediment mixed in with the water, and it changes the hue of blue that the water has. So you have different colorations to the water, which is awfully interesting, especially on a day like this where you have unlimited visibility and you can see it all. And it makes for a fascinating scene right there.
Well, we've got you and we're going to get into the forecast in a minute, but the weekend is supposed to be gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
So more people will be going to the beach. How long are we looking at the rough waters, the strong wave advisory?
This will be coming coming back to normal pretty expeditiously. We have a day of northeast winds here. These will be letting up later tonight, and the weekend will feature a light pressure gradient, so you don't have widely huge organized wind fields. It will to get those little localized afternoon lake breezes that come in when in the absence of a large-scale northeast wind like we have today. So I think things will be improving for the swimmers as the weekend goes on pretty expeditiously.
And then we're going to get back into a summer's going to come back, because it's nice to have these one or two day reprieves.
Oh yeah, you can kind of recharge the batteries, you know, for the next heat assault.
Well, because we know it's only we only have a couple months, so we'll take a couple days in the upper 70s, low 80s, but we need a few more days when it gets really hot to carry us through February and March.
It sounds to be like you're a hot, humid weather fan. I
don't mind it. If I'm going to be out, you know, working in the yard or something, I don't mind it. If I'm in a suit and I have
that's
to be outside, then I don't want that. But I do like
The warmth.
You got to get some hot weather around here.
I love having the windows open at night, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it gets so muggy and humid and all, you're sticking to the sheets and your car seats and everything else, unless you have some air conditioning.
Right.
So it's pretty nice. But not everybody feels that way.
I know. People are, you know, but, and it's funny, Ty, and you hear this all the time. You've been hearing it for years. Yeah. The first hot day, people go, oh, it's so hot. Shut up. Because a week ago, you were screaming that it was too cold. We don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
Just accept this is where we live. We get all the seasons, all the different temperatures.
And sometimes all in one day.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, exactly. You know, it's interesting. We have something of a face-off going in this office. We have the hot weather people. And
that's
we have
me.
That, all right, so Violetta, and Bill Snyder in that corner. And I have Paul Merzlach here working with us. Paul's kind of, I think, I mean, we like warm weather, but we also appreciate the cooler end of the spectrum, too. And we have Alex here, one of our engineers, who's from Canada, and we always talk about how beautiful the weather is there and all the rest. And question, for instance, Bill Snyder likes to go to Phoenix and likes looking at these triple-digit temperatures. He thinks that's marvelous. And I, you know, when I see a temperature of 115, what I say in my mind is there's 115 reasons not to visit that place.
Oh, it's good for the bones, Tom.
It
loosens up all my arthritis.
Oh, I'll tell you something.
I can move around better.
Yeah. That's one explanation, one take on it.
And I look charred. I char myself to a golden brown.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
See that? You guys speak the same language. You and Snyder and Violetta. And
I play better golf in the heat, Tom, so I'm actually pro. It just depends on what I'm doing.
Loosens you up, doesn't it, Kevin?
Yeah,
Kevin, you like this too, right?
I'm a big fan. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can Dan Rohn is. I know.
You can always walk into some air conditioning. That's right. You know, there's always a place to cool off.
I think it just depends on what you're doing. Like, I feel like some of these people are roofers or laying bricks in the heat.
Oh,
the rest of us are people with real jobs.
Right, yeah. Construction guys who have to work hard.
Those people
how about our firefighters?
Oh, yeah.
Who are out having to, you know, carry all that equipment and, you know, the...
Yeah, and you can't go fight a fire in cutoffs and a tank top.
Of course
You got to wear the big uniform. Anybody who has to work outside, of course, they have a different
take
thought process than we do. Well, what's it going to be this weekend, Tom?
Gorgeous. I mean, 100% sunny days, clear, comfortable, great sleeping nights. Sunny tomorrow, 83 with 78 at the beaches. It's that little very localized cooling on the beaches that just is still swimmable and beach. And everything else.
Perfect.
But Sunday will go up to 89, Monday up to 93. And again, there'll be that modest cooling, but these are localized lake breezes. These are not the kind that go miles inland with the April-type chill that we went through and we're so tired of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds terrific.
It does.
Any precipitation in the forecast?
No. You know what? The one thing we're watching, it's kind of interesting. Some of the models are bringing some tropical moisture up. Downstate, there could be some scattered thunderstorms as we get into next week. And we've got a little front, a little wind shift line that sags through here Tuesday morning. Might fire a thunderstorm in a spot or two along that. But basically, over the next 7 days, there's no sign of highly organized rains around here, which will be a nice change because, you know, we're running twice the normal amount of rainfall since June 1st.
Yeah, it's been wet for a while.
Very wet. And a lot of flooding. We don't need that. You know?
And people are going to be singing your praises because we have a wonderful weekend in store. You know, they blame you for the bad, but they'll praise you for the good.
Well, I like the way you think on that.
Well, sure. Tom, it is always a pleasure to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Have a terrific weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Brian. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. That is Tom Skilling. You hear him every day with Ro and Anna. We now need to check out. The weather is beautiful. Are the roads beautiful, Violetta? On Monday morning, CNN's Ryan Nobles joins the Steve Cochran Show to catch you up on all the news that happened over the weekend. That Monday morning on Steve Cochran Show. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. They'll be back on Monday after 4 o'clock. We'll talk a little about the planned protest tomorrow on the Dan Ryan. I want to get your thoughts, not on whether you're for or against, that's too easy, but if you think it will have the effect that is being hoped for by the protesters. We'll get into that after that. And then, of course, top five at five. And the Canarble wagon rolls at 5:30. Not like we're counting the minutes or anything. I don't know if your plans for the weekend include renting. But people don't rent movies anymore, do they? Do you go? I know there's the Red Box where you can go and actually rent a DVD. I know most people tend to either stream them or go on demand. Or I don't remember the last time I actually went and rented a movie. which may be why I found this story so hilarious. This is coming out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where you would expect people to still go to a gas station and rent a movie. A man, Lonnie Perry, rented Ted 2. Remember Ted 2? The talking, the bear?
It's a family flick, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. It's all about a cuddly teddy bear that kid, you know, a kid likes to sleep with. It's wonderful. Well, he rented this movie. It set him back about $5 in 2014. He never returned the movie because he lost his job, lost his home, and just put all his stuff in a box and was moving around. So he didn't return that movie. Well, now they want the movie back, and it's $218.07. He said, I just don't have that kind of money right off. I'll get it, and I'll pay it. I'll do what I have to do. I just think it could have gone a different route. And it could go a different route because if he doesn't pay, there could be a warrant issued for his arrest. Imagine going to jail because you didn't return Ted 2. And you, all of a sudden you're in there. You're in the slammer. And, hey, what are you in for? Drunk driving. Oh, I killed somebody. Armed robbery. I didn't return Ted 2. Oh, guess who's getting traded for cigarettes? Sure. I do remember. There used to be, this is going to, I know Kevin and Violetta won't probably have no idea what I'm talking about. You used to get fined if you didn't rewind your tape before you took it back to Blockbuster.
Yes, I know.
You be kind, that? Rewind.
They'd always be like, oh, we'll pay it next time we come. We'll pay it next time we come.
And it was like, really? How hard is it to rewind a tape as Blockbuster? Blockbuster should have just had industrial strength tape rewinders and put all the tapes in it. But yes, that was the big thing. Be kind, rewind. You're right, Ryan. That was their slogan. It was stuck on every video cassette. And God forbid you were a day late. My dad used to lose his mind if we didn't return the Blockbuster the exact day it was
due.
The
worst was when you didn't even know you had a movie missing, and you know your whole Friday night was go to Blockbuster, pick out a movie. You get to the front, and they're like, "No, you have an outstanding movie you need to return before we can give you this."
No, I don't.
Like, "Oh, actually, did they say that's my parents' name? No, I have another name."
and then I'd get my
parents and my friends' parents in trouble too, because then I wouldn't
return. Because you wouldn't return their movies either.
Yeah.
No wonder nobody wants to hang out and watch movies with you, Violetta. You're a scofflaw.
Sorry, Ambergs.
Scofflaw. All right. Listen, we'll go from that law to the law of protesting. We'll do all of that. I don't know how that segue worked. It probably didn't. But either way, we're going to talk about the planned Dan Ryan shutdown tomorrow morning. On the other side of the news, the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 4 o'clock. And with the news, here's Ryan Burrow. For Rowan Anna on 720 WGN. Later this hour, we will be talking about some of the riders that the artists who are performing at Taste of Chicago have, and then it's Top 5 Carnarvon Wagon, and some music from Rory Carroll. We're out of here at 6:30 tonight because of White Sox baseball. Don't forget, after 6, I am going to give you a chance to go to the Blackhawks convention. I have a family 4-pack of passes, and I will give those to you after 6 o'clock. All right, we've been hearing for the last couple months about the planned protest, the anti-violence protest tomorrow that is going to shut down the northbound lanes of the Dan Ryan. Father Michael Flager is leading that. Now they're saying that thousands of people are expected to join him in this march to draw attention. The message they are trying to send is that elected leaders have to fix neighborhood schools and create better job prospects to supplant the violence plaguing some pockets of the city. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this, but not the are you for it, are you against it. But here's the question. I think everybody in the city and everybody in the country is aware that there is gun violence. It's something we all know it's happening. So we're going to have this march, which I think is fine. Do you think the march will have the effect that the protesters hope? Or are we reaching a point where we are all starting to get a little protest fatigue, where we're not, there's so many protests, and there's a good reason for most of the protests. I don't care what you're protesting. People have strong feelings. They have the right to protest. They should protest. But we see these protests so long that maybe some messages get lost in the shuffle.
Well, and that's why I think that they're going above and beyond, making them
this
more dramatic.
Which is why, you know, the police department had asked Father Flager, can't you do this on a side street? Well,
and
there's
that's
marches.
Not the point.
Right. There's marches in neighborhoods all the time. Neighborhood marches happen pretty much, you know, every week. There's somebody marching, and usually it's for this same thing. They're marching against violence. Well, if it's on a side street that is not heavily traveled, you know, yeah, we'll send the news cameras out there. It might get a quick blurb on a news report. Maybe there'll be a small story on it in the paper, but it's not, it doesn't have an impact. So you go to the Dan Ryan. And even, yes, it's Saturday morning, traffic's going to be a little lighter.
So what time? I got a 2:30 tea
o'clock.
Time on the south side tomorrow. Is that going to impact my,
well,
my golfing?
It starts
That's
at 10 o'clock.
Concern.
Okay. 10 it steps off at 10 a.m. Yeah. and it's going north. So if you're heading south, you'll get some gaper's delays. I would just find a different route.
Classic gaper delay. I think I'll just take 294
yeah, just
south.
Just take a different
cut
route.
Over east.
Have you guys ever walked on an expressway before?
No.
I don't think I could.
No, and I will say whoever's going to be that first wave of people to walk out there... That's some dedication, because it's going to be terrifying.
You know what I was thinking? What if, because I know that they're taking buses and shuttling
mm-hmm.
people to
from
St.
Sabina's over to 79th.
Right.
Yeah.
So what if the buses, though, were on the highway and just slowed down? Then they would make a wall and people wouldn't
well,
be afraid
I have,
of...
I have a feeling, and I'm sure this is going to be the case, that the state police will set up. You know, they're going to be stopping traffic. They know this is happening. They are going to try to stop traffic, despite the protests from the state police saying, listen, if we have to make arrests, we're going to make arrests. That's bad optics. They're not going to be arresting people on the street.
Eddie Johnson's already said, I'm not going to arrest a priest and a bunch of mothers who are victims of gun violence.
Right.
That's not an interest.
With all due respect to the superintendent, the clip you just played in your newscast, Ryan, he was really passing the buck. This is all the jurisdiction of the state police, so I'm not going to arrest anybody. And it is going to be a logistical issue for the CPD as well as the state police, because, yes, you're going to have to deploy extra officers to that area because you know this is happening. But it's the same as when you have to deploy extra officers to Michigan Avenue when there's a march, or to Daly Center when there's a march. That's part of the deal. And, you know, so Eddie Johnson pushing it off on the state police, saying they're the ones who are going to have to enforce that, which technically is true. The mayor doing a kind of a quick flip-flop today, coming out saying, listen, he's all for this. He backs the planned Dan Ryan anti-violence march.
I wonder, though, if they're trying to get, whose attention are they trying to get?
They want the mayor's attention, most of all.
Right, but
they
the mayor's
the
not
going to
be on the Dan Ryan. Commuters are going to be on
the
Dan Ryan.
Yeah, but you know what? The mayor is up for re-election, and the mayor is going to hear from residents of this city, and the mayor is going to see that one of the city's main arteries is being shut down because people are sick and tired of people getting killed in their neighborhood. So something has to be done. We're not going to debate gun violence.
I just don't know if it helps their cause for the people who maybe aren't on one side or another. I don't think anyone wants gun violence. I just think that people haven't stepped up necessarily to do something to help.
Well, Father Flager was on with Justin Kaufman this morning on the Steve Cochran Show, and he talked about whose attention he was trying to grab.
Many people drive down the Dan Ryan every single day and never pay attention or care about the pain and the neglect that's going on in east and west of that expressway. Someone's saying, yes, it is a point of irritant. It's a point of irritation. It's a point of interrupting and making people inconvenient. But guess what? When children get shot, we've had more than 61 children shot since January 1st, which is absolutely comparable within a couple of numbers of the last 2 years. And that's an inconvenience. People say, well, I don't feel safe getting off the Ryan. Well, we don't feel safe off the Ryan either. And it's creating this society say, we've got to do something to get the attention of the masses of people and the attention of the powers that be.
And his point is correct. Any sort of protest is supposed to be an inconvenience. If I'm just protesting in my living room and not bothering anybody, you're never going to get the message across. And yes, it's if you're traveling on the Ryan tomorrow morning, it is going to be a horrible inconvenience. But it's also going to make you take a moment to stop and think and say, all right, I don't live in these neighborhoods. People do live in these neighborhoods. There's people who live in these neighborhoods. Most of them just want to go about their lives. They want to get up. They want to raise their kids. They don't want to worry that their kid can't go out in front of the house because they might get shot. They don't have to worry that somebody's going to, you know, chase their kid into an alley and kill them.
I hear you. I just don't think that the people that are going to be stuck in traffic will be thinking that. Well, I think that they're going to be thinking this is annoying.
Well, here's the other thing. You're getting so much warning that this is happening. So
that is
even if you're coming from out of state, you're probably seeing this on the news. And if you're not, okay, well then you don't live here anyway, but you probably have gun violence or some sort of other social issues in the town you live in that you need to pay more attention to as well. So, yeah, listen, if I was coming up the Ryan tomorrow morning and I didn't know this was happening and all of a sudden I'm stuck, I'd be a little upset. So my first reaction, being a selfish American, would be, man, these people are inconveniencing me. This is unbelievable. And then I would, you know, I'd put in my app and I'd get off the Ryan somewhere and bypass the march. And then, you know, hopefully I would be self-aware enough to take a minute later and say, all right, why were these people marching? Is the problem as big as this march would lend me to believe? And the problem is bigger than this march.
But is anybody going to think that?
Yes.
Is anybody going to go home and reflect after sitting through that?
I think so.
You do? But what can those individual people even do?
They can vote. They can pressure their representatives to, you know, we have the gun laws. That's not the point. The point is, let's figure out some program. Let's figure something out, because we can't let it go the way it's going. And that it doesn't mean more restrictions on guns. This is not a gun control issue. This is anti-violence. This is how can we take pockets of the city where people feel unsafe and try to fix it? Whether it's education, whether it's jobs, whatever it is. It's an answer that we're not going to come up with in the next few minutes, because it's such a complicated question. But I don't know. 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break.
I think it's
break,
a sad, a too, to point that,
well, it's horrible.
That, you know, that people are going to these extremes to walk down the Dan Ryan because of what's going on
in
their lives.
Well, that should show us how serious it is. I mean, listen, I drove the Ryan for years and years. And as Father Flager said in that, and I'm not a huge fan all the time of Father Flager. I'm not here as a poster boy for Father Flager. But he makes some points, and he does seem to really care about the people in his parish and the people in his neighborhood.
But you know what, Brian? I drive by a lot of different neighborhoods and don't think anything about them. People in those neighborhoods think about those neighborhoods.
Right. But but we're lucky.
When you're driving through the Dan Ryan, you don't, or even if you're on the Kennedy, regardless of what.
Of course. No, I understand that. I understand that. But I'm saying maybe something like this will make us think about it. And by thinking about it, maybe then we can talk, you know, we can make a difference by talking to the people who are supposed to represent not only us who don't live in those neighborhoods, but the people who actually do live in those neighborhoods. Let's do this. We're going to continue the conversation. Do you think it's going to have the effect that the protesters are hoping for? Are we starting to see and feel too much protest fatigue? And with a protest like this, are the right people being impacted? Are the people who are driving on the Ryan the ones who are going to be inconvenienced? Are those the ones that need to be inconvenienced? 312-981-7200. Let's go and check the traffic trouble spots. We know what the traffic trouble spots will be tomorrow morning, but what are they right now, Violetta? Chicago's hosting the ultimate month-long food festival this August. Visit ctfoodbowl.com to get your seat at the table. All right. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. We're talking about the anti-violence protest that is going to happen tomorrow morning on the Dan Ryan Expressway. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. Do you think it's going to have the effect that they're hoping for, or are we starting to see protest fatigue where, you know, there's just so many people protesting so many things that we just can't hear it anymore? And this isn't just for people who forget, this isn't the first time that protesters have shut down traffic. We see it on Michigan Avenue a lot. We see it all over. So it is is not something new. And back in July of 2016, protesters marched on the southbound lanes of the Dan Ryan Expressway for about 5 to 10 minutes. So this is nothing new. But I'm wondering what you think about this. Let's say hi to Anthony. He's been hanging on. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to WGN.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. All right. I'm a Southsider, and I can tell you this was a complete waste of time. I'm actually proud of Violetta for asking the obvious questions, like somebody who doesn't live there, what do they have to do with it? You know, it's the stupidest thing.
Well, yeah, but somebody who doesn't live there, we all live in the city, we all live in the area, and the violence is spreading from, you know, it was easy for people to ignore when it was like, oh, well, that's one neighborhood or that's two neighborhoods. Now, things are getting crazy everywhere.
I can answer that question. How about you take those thousands of people and put them on the streets themselves where the criminals are doing their criminal behavior? That'll solve the problem.
The protest? Those people, the ones who are going to protest, you mean? Those thousands of people?
Yeah.
Yeah, they live in those neighborhoods, Anthony.
I live in those neighborhoods, too.
Okay.
And, I mean, I'm listening to this. This sounds like some good little socialism stuff. I mean, this is ridiculous. I tell you what, then. I'll summarize it like this.
So
I guarantee a year from now, if you're filling in next July, nothing will be any different.
Well,
nothing.
That
these
could
are just
be.
Politicians who are just trying to make a name for themselves. And not politicians, you know, community activists or whatever. They're just making a name for themselves. They're not doing anything. Now, if this did solve the crime problem, then I'd say fantastic. But I guarantee it won't.
No,
it won't solve
so
it. And one more slight thing here.
Okay.
Are you telling me that somebody who's, say, from Fort Wayne, Indiana, who wants to come downtown, who has to pass through the Dan Ryan, are you telling me it's their responsibility also?
No, but I'm saying,
in Chicago?
I'm saying that it's people's right to protest, Anthony, and that when you say it's socialism, that doesn't make any sense. This country has been built on protests, and if we're inconvenienced for a little bit,
I admitted,
if I was sitting on the Ryan, I would be angry. Because people are inconveniencing me. But hopefully then we can think about why these protests have to happen.
But here, I repeat again, I guarantee it will do nothing.
Well,
fantastic.
I agree. If it works, it'll be fantastic. We're going to have to wait and see. And I'm going to hold out hope that at least maybe the conversation will move forward. And I may be a little, you know, pie in the sky on that. Anthony, I appreciate the call. Dee's been waiting. Hi, Dee.
Hi there.
So what's going on, Dee?
Well, I'm on the Dan Ryan driving down. Use the Dan Ryan a lot. And it really and truly is just a pass through the neighborhood. It's a direct route from the south suburbs and Indiana straight through to Chicago. A demonstration here on the Dan Ryan, it will bring awareness, but it will bring mostly annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
And the kinds of people that are traveling on here definitely don't really care. I think from a suburban standpoint, when I listen to people I know, I travel into some of the neighborhoods because I have to take cuts through 101st, 55th, 53rd. And you look at the infrastructure, and yes, these folks do have a right to have a complaint of what's going on. But for the suburbanites, I think it's, what about these kids that are out at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and that are shooting each other and the gang violence and the people on the streets at odd hours? Those are the things that would really and truly confirm actions if those were to be halted, stopped. And is it because we don't have enough police in Chicago?
Well, we have lost a lot of police. There have been big cuts to the police department. But also neighborhoods don't want to feel like they're police states. They don't want the police to be viewed as an occupying force. Dee, a lot of good questions. We will we'll continue talking about it. I appreciate the call. All right, listen, we've got a lot of people waiting to talk. So we will we'll give you a chance to weigh in on the other side of the news. But right now we do have to go to the newsroom because Ryan Burrow is standing by and he's got this report. So 312-981-7 3-1-2-900. Hold on one second, Ryan. 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, we'll take some more calls on this on the other side of the news. All right? Talking about the big protest tomorrow. A lot of people seem to be echoing the same point that, boy, this is just gonna make people angry. We are not gonna do anything except make people angry. We'll see. I hold out a little higher hope, I guess. All right, now let's go to the newsroom, Ryan. Ryan Noonan in for Roanna on 720 WGN. The eve of the anti-violence march planned for the Dan Ryan tomorrow morning, kicking off at 10 o'clock. This is your chance to let us know what you think of it. Is it going to have the effect that the protesters hope? Are we starting to have a little protest fatigue? We've heard way too many of these protests. We've been caught in them. It's rough. 312-981-7200. We need to remember that this country was formed by protests. There have been sit-ins forever. Protests are supposed to be unpleasant. Supposed to shake things up, and business as usual is supposed to be disrupted. I have admitted, if I was caught on the Ryan tomorrow morning, I would be furious. However, the people who are protesting this have more to be furious about than me being impacted for 20 minutes, a half hour out of my schedule.
I agree with you, Brian, but I feel like the difference is, in the past, protests have been either for or against something. This is an anti-violence protest. No one is for violence.
No, nobody is for violence. But the fact that a lot of these areas, the problem has been ignored and not addressed, that's why they need.
But I think it's because people don't know how to address it. It's not, we are aware there's a lot of issues on the south side.
Well, just because we don't know how to fix it doesn't mean we just let it go. We can't throw up our hands and go, well, it's not going to work. What are we supposed to do?
Doesn't need to be, you don't have to be made aware of the issue if everyone's already aware of
it. Well, then why do we do marches for breast cancer? Why do we do marches for leukemia? We all know those diseases exist.
Because we're raising money to help for research.
Well, then we need to, you know what? Would it help then if they were collecting money too? Would that make it more legitimate?
But then where would the money go to?
Right, to stop violence. Same thing.
Well, who would you give the money to, though?
I don't know. Maybe we give it to the police department, get a few more officers. Maybe we give it to somebody to open a business down there. Maybe we, you know, there's a lot of different ways. 312-981-7200. Let's hear from you. Susan's been hanging on. Hi, Susan. Susan? All right. We will we'll put Susan back on hold, and we will see if Judy is ready to go. Hi, Judy. No? Judy?
Hi.
Hi, there you go.
Judy. Hi. You know, I think the way that this protest would work if we had the gang leaders at the head of the protest, because I think we're going to, I think we think the power is in the police force and the ministers and the elderly of the community that are fed up with the violence, but really the power lies in the hands of the decisions that the people that are making, that are running these gangs. They're the ones that are running the guns, the drugs, the money, the kids. And unless we can, and the police department are well aware of who these people are, mm-hmm. and if there isn't somebody to reach out to them to figure out how to bring this together, I don't think we'll ever end it.
Well, that's an interesting point, Judy. Thank you for the call. We do have to, there has to be some way to get, because the police have said they know there's about, you know, I think the one of the figures they threw around was 1,100 people. Well, we have the names of 1,100 people. These guys we know are the ones who are bringing the guns, and these are the ones who are causing all the trouble. But, you know, if we've got to get them involved too. And I'm not saying that the community does not have to have bear some responsibility in working to make things better. They do. But people are living in fear. And that's a way of life that a lot of us cannot fathom. We don't have to live that way. I think we got Susan back. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Mayor. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. What do
Good.
You think?
Well, I was going to say a lot of things, but you basically said a lot of my thoughts. I mean, I think the protest is making us talk about it, which, yes, everyone's saying, oh, we're aware of all these problems, we're aware, but we don't know what to do. Well, what kind of society do we live in that we're more upset that people are going to be inconvenienced on the Dan Ryan than the fact that 61 children have died since January? Okay, I hope you are inconvenienced and upset, because your energy is really in the wrong place. We all should be more than a little upset that 61 children have died for nothing.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Susan. It's a number that, you know, we hear it and we shake our heads. That's horrible. That's a shame. Well, that's, you know, that's that neighborhood or those neighborhoods. That doesn't happen in my town. Well, if it's happening in those neighborhoods,
and somehow we think it doesn't touch us, so we pretend we care, but we don't.
I agree. If 30 minutes being late a day would help not, you know, have as many deaths or violence in Chicago, then I would do it every day.
But we don't know. We don't know that it's not in the. Yeah, it seems like just another thing where we're paying lip service to a problem. But how do we know? Maybe tomorrow is the turning point. Maybe tomorrow we start incrementally discussing it more. Maybe the city pays a little more attention. Maybe some business owners say, all right, you know what, we need some programs in these areas. Maybe there's something that can be done where we can get, you know, we got to cut down on the crime. There's no two ways about it. But we can't just throw up our hands. This is what seems to be happening now. We're so tired of this. We're so tired of it. But how selfish is it of us?
I don't think
worry,
it's selfish.
It is. To worry that we're going to be inconvenienced a little bit tomorrow.
It's not about being inconvenienced. It's not helping. More of the same.
How do we know?
Protests are just going to keep happening, but if you
of course they did.
And
in the 60s, when people were protesting
yeah, but there was a clear answer with a lot of those protests. There's segregation. There shouldn't be segregation, you know?
There shouldn't be 60 kids getting murdered on the South Side.
Yeah.
Come on.
Of course not. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I understand where Violetta's coming from, because those were obviously, like, clear, hardline answers, yes or no. Segregation, yes or no. Here, I'm not sure what's necessarily going to be gained. Of course, there's been more focus and attention on it. But all of us know what's going on down there already.
So what's
right,
next?
But what are we
that's
doing?
What we need to do.
Yeah,
what's the next yeah. part?
So
How
the next
we
part is we get people angry. And the more people are angry, the more they're going to want to do something. And whether that's sending more letters to the mayor, whether that's moving the protest to the mayor's office, whether it's moving the protest to the police department, whether it's, you know, people banding together.
The more people yell at me, the more I don't listen.
Well, that's, yeah, you know what? And the more people that don't listen, they get voted out. And we find the people who do listen. All right, 312-981-7200. Mark's been hanging on. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
It's going all right, thanks.
So I just wanted to make a comment here. I have worked on both the South and West Side in a certain capacity. These protests on the highway will do nothing. The marches need to happen down Madison Street, Roosevelt, Cottage Grove, 79th, 71st Street. They need to go straight downtown. They need to go to 26th and California, where the people who are letting the people that we know have gun convictions back on the street that are driving this violence, they know who's doing this, and these judges and attorneys are letting them out. They need to. Rahm needs to see this firsthand. Blocking the Dan Ryan will do nothing.
Well, I don't know. I think, and I agree with you. With there, you know, listen, there can be marches all over, and there are neighborhood marches. I like the idea of going to 26th and Cal. I like the idea of going to City Hall. I like all of those. I don't think they need to be mutually exclusive. But I think, and thank you for the call, Mark. I think tomorrow when the mayor sees the expressway shut down again, and listen, he's going to hear from a lot of people that were mad. That they were inconvenienced, and either way, he's going to hear from people, and it's going to keep the conversation in the forefront. It's not that we are not aware of it; it's that things happen, and we're all outraged for a week or so till the next news cycle, till something else happens that outrages us, and then we forget. But the people who are living in these areas where they're having these problems, they don't get to move on to the next news cycle. They're in that news cycle 24/7. Let's talk to Rose. Hi, Rose.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I just want to thank you for being on the air. Oh. And I want to thank you for being the voice of reason in that office.
Well, I don't know
the
about
that,
Rose.
The two people that sitting with you, I don't understand what they're thinking. Everything that came out of their mouth was about convenience. And you got 61 mothers, 61 brothers and sisters, uncles, aunts, who have lost a child. And they're complaining about being inconvenienced for a few minutes on the damn line. Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Calling. And just like you said, there may not be not what you said, that other guy that's in that office with you. There may not be a cut and dry answer as it is to segregation. Well, cut and dry answer to marching for breast cancer where you can raise money.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to find the answers. I'm an African-American woman. I live in those communities. I had to raise my boys in those communities. They had to go to public school in those communities. Okay?
Yeah.
Many of those communities don't even have a grocery store. If I didn't drive, I wouldn't be able to drive to a grocery store to get food. I'm going to have to walk to the corner store where they sell garbage and feed my children garbage. So if stopping the traffic on the Dan Ryan inconveniences that small population or that population that is privileged to not have to bear what we bear, then so be it.
All right. Well, Rose, thank you for the call. I appreciate the opinions. Have a good afternoon. All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll finish up. We've got a lot of people waiting. We'll try to get everybody's calls in before the top of the hour, and then we will turn our attention to the top five of five. But first, we need to get some traffic trouble spots from the woman whose eye is always on the roads, Violetta Pachmet. Hey, Senor Gato, Dave Ennett returns from Norway. He'll talk about his trip and all his time on the fjords with Steve Cochran Monday morning at 7:10.
Go Cats.
Go Cats indeed. We always have to say Go Cats whenever Dave or Fitz or is there anybody else that we're contractually obligated to say Go Cats when we...
Coach Collins.
Oh, that's true. Coach Collins. I always forget basketball.
Dr. Jim Phillips, athletic director.
All right, Go Cats. All the Northwestern brass and, of course, Dave Ennett, the... He's the original Mr. Cat, isn't he?
That's right.
When we go there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Don't forget, after 6 o'clock, we are going to give you a chance to score a family four-pack of tickets to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. That after 6 o'clock. Top 5 of 5 coming your way after 5 o'clock, of course. We are talking about the march tomorrow. We're taking your thoughts. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let's see. Kathy's been hanging on. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
So what do you think?
Well, I don't think this march is going to do anything. It has nothing to do on my part as far as inconvenience.
Okay.
I think that... This has been going on in Chicago, the Chicago neighborhoods, for many, many years. It seems like the violence is continuing to get worse. The gangs have these neighborhoods. It's almost like they're holding them hostage with the violence, the gun running, you know, and everything else that they do. And it's if the police know who these people are, they need to start doing something about it because... Again, the violence seems to be escalating. The police do gun retrievals, but more guns just replace those guns.
The police are there, and I appreciate the call, Kathy. Thanks very much. The police are there. They're just, you know, in this day and age, we've seen it. Police are becoming not nervous or hesitant to do their job, but things are changing. You know, yes, we know the police say they know who some of these gang members are. They know that it's harder to get them. And all these people, I'm seeing a lot of texts that are saying the same thing. Well, you know, the people in these neighborhoods, they need to stand up to the gangs. They need to help the police. Listen, in an ideal world, that would be fantastic. But let's be honest. If you're living in an area like this where the gangs are kind of running the show, which is a problem that needs to be addressed and figured out, but if the gangs are running the show, you're going to be very hesitant to speak up. Because if you point out that, hey, guess what, I saw this crime happen, well, suddenly you're a target, and you have to live there. You can't leave. It's not like in the movies where all of a sudden you're going to be in WITSEC. You're on, this is where you live. And so you start, you know, if you give over too much information and suddenly you're the target. Or, you know, let's be honest, there's some law enforcement that may not be on the up and up. The majority are, but some may not be. And they may leak that information back to the people who you are talking to them about. So it's very easy from the outside to say, you know what, and let's be honest. People do have to take responsibility. And I think the people who feel powerless, that's what these protests are for. It's people who feel powerless. They don't know what else they can do. So they do something, and they hope against hope that maybe their message will get through, not just to the people in the neighborhood who already know the message, but people outside the neighborhood, the mayor, the police superintendent, who, listen, they know the deal too. But people need to be able to speak. People, imagine if you didn't have any avenue to voice grievances, and you thought that any time you complained, nobody cared, or people went, "Well, nothing's going to get done." It would make you crazy.
Yeah, look, the inconvenience thing with the caller before, I agree. I mean, look, this is not going to affect my day tomorrow for sure, and it may bring some more awareness. I think to the point we were making earlier. You know, I'm obviously all for protesting. It's all right. It's fine. Whatever.
Right.
But maybe there should be more of a mission to, like we said, raise money or something to give to schools or give to the police officers or whatever it may be, rather than just a message. Because then I think when you do have monetary, when you can make decisions like that and actually put money towards action and changing things, I think it's a little different. You know, maybe have that sort of built around a fundraiser for whatever it may be, whatever they think could benefit a certain area.
Still, and you make a good point, Kevin. It's nice to have something we can hang our hat on. I'm doing this for this, and while this is not abstract, we know why they're marching. We're marching because kids are getting killed in this neighborhood. All right, it's easy to say, well, how is this march going to help? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I think at some point, and we've all been this at some point in our lives, it's what I was saying, imagine the frustration of thinking that nobody is listening. And that's what people live with every day, that they feel nobody is listening. And so they have to do something drastic. They have to go out and march on the expressway and inconvenience thousands of people and create a lot of, you know, create some havoc and make the police have to, you know, repurpose some of their patrol. It's a whole big thing. But for some people, it's the last resort. It's what else can we do? Nobody is listening. And that's what I think tomorrow is going. That's why tomorrow needs to happen. That's why any sort of protest needs to happen.
I agree with protesting and airing your grievances. Obviously, that is a wonderful right that we all hold. And I hope it wasn't mixed in that I'm against the protest or think it's an inconvenience, because I don't. I mean, yes, if they can get the message out there, great. I wish and I hope that I or more of us had an answer on what was next. I wish I knew what to do to help, other than just, you know, get together and say, hey, this is horrible.
Well,
you
and
know?
I think what you're saying, Violetta, is while I was saying the people in the neighborhood sometimes feel powerless, so do we. We don't live in the neighborhood, but nobody wants to see this kind of violence. Nobody wants to hear about 60 kids being killed. So we feel powerless too. What can we do? How is it going to change? Is it even worth trying? Well, it's always worth trying. And I've got some text saying that I'm living in La La Land and that, you know, I'm some idealistic goof. And yeah, maybe. For the most part of my life, I'm very pessimistic, but I have to hold out hope that we're going to figure something out.
We definitely can't just ignore it. I agree with that. I just wish that we knew the next step, you know, other than this is an issue. So I don't know.
Well, I don't know what it is either.
Is it time for the Knarble Wagon yet?
It's
Friday.
It's almost time to start drinking.
We can't fix the world.
No, let's have fun.
No, trust me. Listen, you know me. I'm Mr. Fun. But it's all of a sudden, sometimes things are so much bigger that you go, all right, well, we'll have fun in a little bit. So we'll talk about the serious stuff and try to figure out all the world's problems in an hour. I don't think we came close.
I think we made more problems.
I don't know if we made more problems, but you know, tomorrow's going to be rough if you're traveling on the Ryan tomorrow morning. It's rough once the march is over and traffic gets back to flowing regularly. People are still going to be in those areas where things are rough. And we do have to figure something out. All right. So, huh, yes, we do. You are right, Kevin. It's almost, we only have to wait a half hour till the Canarbo wagon rolls. The top five at five is coming up in just a couple minutes. Who knows what sort of fun is in store for the top five at five. But I thank everybody for their calls and their opinions. We did have, that's why we did it this hour, because we had a lot of differing opinions, which is, you know, a good thing. That's what's missing in a lot of debate nowadays. Getting thoughts from both sides. And I think we had thoughts from both sides. And I think, you know, nobody's yelling at anybody. Nobody's calling each other's name. We were able to move on and envision a drink in about 35 minutes. All right.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, how about it? The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by AppleChevy.com. That beat meant it's 5 o'clock with the news. Here's Ryan Burrow. WGN. Later this hour, I was just handed another prize because it's Friday and we need more prizes to be given out. Keep listening this hour for your chance to win a pair of Pavilion tickets to see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra's performance of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony at Ravinia on Saturday, July 14th. Get your tickets at ravinia.org. But hang on, don't get your tickets yet, because I may give you some tickets for that. So that's coming up this hour. Violetta, you're happy to know, as I am, that the Canarbo wagon is in the house.
Drinks are pouring.
Drinks are being made as we speak. The Canarbo wagon, of course, coming up after 5:30. Our friends from Ballyhoo Irish Whiskey are here, along with our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center. Irish Fest starts in about an hour. Irish Fest starts.
I can confirm the whiskey is in the house. Just walk through a little kitchenette area and some drinks are being poured.
Yes, I was looking for you and you weren't there because I knew that
I got distracted.
I knew that news would excite you. That the
I was
the,
getting a tutorial on Ballyhoo Irish Whiskey, which I'm sure you're going to hear about in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, we're gonna hear all about it. Yeah. Whiskey will be flowing, but right now
it's the top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Let's get on with it then. That's what you want. You want to start yelling at me? That's fine. It's a Friday. We'll get on with it. We'll start with
number five.
Of course, we start with number five. Vice President Pence today met today with Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen at the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Building in D.C. Vice President Pence praising ICE officers and the work that they do.
I want to promise you that we're going to continue to work to make sure that this agency has both the support, the respect, and the resources that you deserve to do the job that you have been called to do. Every day, men and women of ICE also confront criminal illegal immigrants who endanger our communities and prey on our most vulnerable. Our ICE agents are busy every day taking them off the streets.
Yes, that is true. ICE agents, very, very important to take criminals off the streets. There's no argument there. But, you know, if we continue to weaponize fear, we lose sight of the actual problems. But there you go. That's Vice President Mike Pence speaking today. Shall we continue? Of course we shall.
Number four.
Oh, that's my turn. Thanks, Orion. President Trump waved off concerns about Russian President Vladimir Putin's intentions as he prepares to meet with his Russian counterpart in Finland later this month. Speaking at a campaign-style rally last night in Montana, President Trump attacked critics who have questioned his preparedness for the July 16th summit with Putin and made light of Putin's past as a top-ranking intelligence official.
And I might even end up having a good relationship, but they're going, will President Trump be prepared? You know, President Putin is KGB and this and that. You know what? Putin's fine. He's fine. We're all fine. We're people. Will I be prepared? Totally prepared. I've been preparing for this stuff my whole life. They don't say that.
Really? Because I feel the complete opposite.
Yeah, no disrespect meant, but somebody who's a top KGB operative, they've been training for...
Their whole lives.
Yeah, their whole lives for some sort of intricate negotiations. They know a little. It's different.
It's like somebody panicking. Everything's fine, guys. Everything is totally fine. Everybody's totally cool.
We're people. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
And he was not preparing to be president ever.
No. And listen, Vladimir Putin is not fine. He is not. Let's take the president off the table and just focus on Putin. Putin is not a fine guy, and Putin is a former head of the KGB, top KGB guy. Those guys are like, it'd be like me sitting down with somebody from the CIA and thinking, you know what, I can outsmart these guys. Because those CIA guys, they don't know more than I do. I'm on the radio.
Everything's fine.
Everything's totally fine. Me and the CIA, we're people.
Everything is cool.
Oh, boy. You know, one of the things that I like about the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlanta is sometimes you put together a drunk Trump. And our fine technical wizards have put together some drunk Trump based on his last campaign-style rally.
And I might even end up having a good relationship, but they're going, will President Trump be prepared? You know, President Putin is KGB and this and that. You know what? Putin's fine. He's fine. We're all fine. We're people.
People are people. Well, people, you're people, Kevin.
That was one of my favorite drunk Trumps we've had.
You're the people, Violetta. People.
It's fine.
Everything's fine, man.
And then if you weren't sure the first time, you say it two more times.
Gotta say it's fine. What else would a drunk Trump say?
Admiral Jackson was getting ready to leave service. He actually said I was healthy. You know, he was the one. When the fake news started saying, oh, why isn't Trump giving the physical? Why? Dr. Jackson and his staff, they went out, they gave me a physical. That was a physical.
I feel like he's talking
about. They said I'm very healthy, the news was devastated. They didn't want to hear that.
It's
so good.
Why a week after journalists were killed in Maryland, why is the president coming out against journalists again? I don't understand. Drunk Trump or not. But I can't get enough drunk Trump.
You saw that clown yesterday on the Statue of Liberty? You see the guys that went up there? I wouldn't have done it.
That's not a shock.
I would have said, let's get some nets and let's wait till she comes down. Just get some nets. Really? You see those guys, the bravery of doing that? What a group.
Yes.
What? I'm pretty sure that's how his son hunts as well, just with nets.
Sure, he just...
Bring the elephant to me.
No, they just put him in a pen. You don't have to. Nets. I'm not going up there.
That was amazing.
You go upstairs.
It's like the drunk uncle at the bar that you happen to sit next to.
It's the guy who's got,
you
know.
See the Statue of Liberty.
It's like drunk Cliff Clavin.
What a group.
Yeah. What a group. What a group. You people. So good. All right. Listen, we're going to continue the top 5 of 5 a little bit. But first... Fine. It's fine. Traffic trouble spots are fine, right, Violetta? They're fine.
No, they're not fine.
They didn't want to hear that.
But they have to hear it. It's a con. Sir, we need to expose those kind of cons. Not Rokan, but other kind of cons. All right, we are continuing the top 5 at 5, and we continue that with...
Number 3,
we've been talking about this a lot today. Father Michael Flager is planning to stop traffic on one of the Chicago area's busiest expressways in an effort to demand change regarding the violence in the city. The protest is set to happen tomorrow morning on the northbound lanes of the Dan Ryan Expressway from 79th to 67th Streets. He said the group will meet at 79th near the Dan Ryan at 9:45 a.m. The march will then proceed down the ramp onto the expressway. He joined the Steve Cochran Show and talked to Justin Jason Kaufman this morning to talk about the march.
Well, I think we're prepared for anything. I know last night we had a meeting here. Ever since the state police put that out, we've had major law firms and attorneys from across the spectrum to go volunteer and say, we will be here to help you and support you in any way possible. But, you know, it's kind of amazing to me, Justin, because we're talking about we don't want to close this down because it's something we can't do, it's illegal to do, and yet we close down the expressway whenever a president comes in town. We close down the expressway from 35th Street to really to 111th Street for Commander Paul Bauer's funeral procession. I understand that, okay with both of those. But now because people want to draw attention to violence and the people dying, and to say that now this will take a different approach, that's a great concern to me.
All right. It's we got all your we got your thoughts on that, and we know, and it does make sense. You know, it's not unprecedented for the expressways to be closed down. All right, let's keep going. Now we're going to lighten things up. Kevin's been wanting some fun. Here's a fun one for Top 5 at 5, Kevin. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, I know you're ready.
Number two,
Ant-Man and the Wasp. Nothing more fun than two insect superheroes. It's in theaters this weekend, and it's the first film in the past decade of Marvel movies to feature a female superhero in the title role. Yay, Wasp! Evangeline Lilly plays the Wasp, and she says it's about time.
It's pretty incredible. It's not just incredible for me as a performer, but it's incredible, I think, for the MCU universe, period, to have a female superhero appearing in the title, and then also just for our culture and, you know, viewers and audience members and kids and everybody seeing the movies.
Yeah, I talked to Brian, one of the fine producers here at the Rokon Show with Anna DeVolantis. He gave it a thumbs up. Richard Roper gave it three and a half stars yesterday. So Rich really liked it. Are you a comic book movie guy, Kevin?
Not so much. I don't necessarily go crazy over them, but I enjoy them when I watch them.
Yeah, they're fun.
She's from Lost, right? Evangeline Lilly?
Yes, Evangeline Lilly from Lost. And I read something, an interview with her where they were talking about how it took forever to figure out her costume and how she, you know, she had a big input on the costume. Because it's important. If you're a superhero, you got to have a good costume. So there you go. Ant-Man and the Wasp. I like the original Ant-Man. It was really fun. So
here, nothing but good things.
No, this is one you got to go see. It's a feel-good, Kevin. We need some more feel-good. We need some more feel-goods. We need some more insect movies to make us feel good.
Number one.
Here you go. This is right up your alley. I know, Kevin, you love Stephen A. Smith. The man has hot takes. Hot takes all over the place. He's sick with hot takes, that Stephen A. Smith. He needs an ESPN producer to teach him how to pronounce the word meme. The television personality, former Philadelphia Inquirer writer, and employer of cheeseburger metaphors, recorded a podcast after the Golden State Warriors signed free agent center DeMarcus Cousins and said this.
Georgia to New York City, all the way out here in L.A. where I'm at right now. Everybody's talking. Oh, my God. Just do away with the NBA. You've got memes.
Memes.
On Twitter.
We got memes on Twitter.
I believe this is a second broadcaster in a year to call botch that. I believe it was Jim Nance who called it a meme during a golf event.
Really? Now, see,
or maybe during Final Four, but there was definitely somebody who called it memes or definitely butchered the pronunciation memes of a meme. Yeah,
it's a memes. Stephen A. Smith must be exhausted when he's done with his show. He's screaming and yelling.
Balls fire.
Out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He is. Have you ever met him?
I have not.
He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
And it's, you know what's weird? It's kind of low key. What do you mean?
he's got to reserve all that energy, Brian.
Yeah,
how about
it? I would be. Yeah. I wouldn't make it through a show if I had to be that jacked up.
That's
nonstop.
A lot.
Well, hot takes, you need a lot of energy to generate the heat for the hot takes. Right. You know that. You're a sports guy, Kevin.
Yeah,
you know,
I try to avoid the hot takes at all costs. I don't know. But that's the way
the hot cakes. He likes hot cakes.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
Everybody loves
a good hot cake.
Who doesn't love a good hot cake?
I don't know.
There was the hotel we stayed at last week in New York had one of those pancake machines.
Nice.
That's
the Holiday Inn Express special right there, right? Were you at Holiday Inn Express?
It was a Best Western Plus.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I got that kind of money, Ryan. I don't mean to brag. I'm going Best Western Plus in Brooklyn. I don't have to go Holiday Inn Express. But they I had stayed at another. A lot of places have the waffles, you know, where you just get the cup of batter and you pour it in the waffle iron. But that's a hassle because you got to flip it over and people lose their mind. This, you just press a button and somebody, there's a magic elf in that machine that just spits out pancakes.
It's like a photocopy of a pancake.
Oh, I love it.
No, it's good though.
3D printing when it comes to hotcakes. Will you work up one hot take, Kevin? I'll feel the week has been wasted if you don't have one hot take for me before the show is over.
Okay,
you got an
hour.
You
want it right now?
No. You got an hour. You can because I know. Those don't just come right out. You got to formulate them, don't you?
Yeah. I try to avoid these. This is like my goal as a sports guy. Like, don't be like all the other sports
guys. All
right,
you know what? Then I don't want... No, then I want you to...
I did put a tweet out a week ago, and it felt hot takey, although I didn't mean it to be hot takey. I said the Cubs should consider trading for James Shields, the White Sox starting pitcher.
Why would they want to do that?
Because he's been really good this year, and he can eat innings and go deep into the games, and Cubs' bullpens have been really taxed because none of the starters are going deep into games. So James Shields wouldn't cost much. He can give you a good month or two of eating innings, give the bullpen a little bit of a rest before
Southside
the final
getting
stretch.
Rid of big game, you think? So that was you. Felt you people took that as hot takey.
Yeah. I got a lot of retweets and a lot of favorites, but a lot of people called me dumb and an idiot. So I was just kind of embracing. I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to be involved in the whole hot take business.
The hot take business. That's
like, oh, okay.
When I did Sports Night, it was very hard to, you know, that hot take business. They want to suck you in. Everybody wants the hot takes.
Embrace debate.
I guess.
Well, that's my
fine.
Hot take for you then. Brian.
I like it. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
I appreciate it. I hope I didn't make you give up on your principles.
No. I tweeted it already, so right. I figured I'd just roll with that one.
Good. I didn't want you to have to sell out or anything.
Oh, good.
All right, let's wrap this up.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
You saw that clown yesterday on the Statue of Liberty? You see the guys that went up there? I wouldn't have done it. I would have said, let's get some nets and let's wait till... she comes back. Just get some nets. Brilliant. What a group.
I'll tell you what, I would sit with a net and just wait if I had some of these cocktails that I am looking at right now. It is time for the Carnarvon Wagon, and the Carnarvon Wagon is, of course, sponsored by It's Just Lunch. Today, the Carnarvon Wagon brought to us by the Irish American Heritage Center. Irish Fest starts in about 21 minutes, and our friends at Connacht Distillery in Ireland. Daniel De Oliveira is here. He is with Romana Beverage, Ballyhoo Irish Whiskey, and Brothership Irish Whiskey. Connacht Whiskey Company is one of the official sponsors of Irish Fest. Kathy O'Neill, I don't know if I introduced you from the Irish American Heritage Center. I've known you many, many years. It is good to see you. Good to see you, Daniel. Thank you both for coming in. This is very exciting. Because now a lot of times with Irish Fest, Kathy, it's the 33rd annual Irish Fest at the Irish American Heritage Center. People say, and even in the commercials I've been reading, we talk about Guinness, but let's not short shrift the fine Irish whiskey that people can enjoy tomorrow and tonight and Sunday at the Irish Fest.
Absolutely. We do have Guinness, but we also will have some whiskey tastings throughout the weekend. So it's going to be really nice. We're gearing up for probably our biggest fest ever.
I can't wait. It starts, like I said, 6 o'clock. Who's the big headliner tonight?
Tonight we've got Byrne and Kelly, two guys who are with Celtic Thunder.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it runs tonight. It starts at 6 and it runs till midnight?
Yes.
Midnight. And then tomorrow it starts at noon
and runs till midnight.
Runs till midnight.
Sunday, we're noon till 11 p.m.
Noon till 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it is, there's music nonstop.
We have six stages.
So people can listen to a real traditional Irish music. music on one stage. They can listen to more rock type, more modern Irish music. There's all kinds of things. If you want to have a fine Irish tea, you can go upstairs and have a fine Irish tea.
Yes, and we've added Irish coffee.
Oh, Irish coffee. Maybe we put a little Ballyhoo Irish whiskey in there. That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Tonight's the big redhead contest. Is that correct?
Well, we've teamed up with a group called Redhead Day Chicago.
Yes.
And there's contests and activities all weekend long.
So the redheads will be running wild up there.
And tomorrow at 3, they're doing a group shot.
Oh.
So the aim is to have...
Oh, that's right. They're going to set the world record.
Yes, to have the most redheads in one area.
It's going
to
be exciting.
It should be a lot of fun.
4626 North Knox Avenue is where the Irish American Heritage Center is. If you go to Irish Fest... Chicago, you can get all the information, or irish.american.org. You'd think I would know that after all these years. And I will be there tomorrow. Very exciting. I'll be selling some drink tickets. So if people want to get a nice whiskey or beer, they can come see me and buy a ticket.
Excellent.
No free tickets. Everybody pays. Hey, because I can't start drinking until my shift is over.
Absolutely.
So I'll be stone sober doing math. Don't try to mess me up. But it's going to be a lot of fun. 33rd year.
33rd year, we get about 15,000 people.
And the place, the Irish American Heritage Center, I say this every time, is just a wonderful place. Even if you're not Irish, you go, you can get a sense of history, go up to the second floor. During the fest, there's genealogy.
Absolutely. Irish language lessons. What we do is try and make it a little different than a typical street fest in that we're showcasing what we do all year long.
Right.
So if you come to the second floor, we have the museum, the art gallery, and the library are open. And this year we have a photography exhibit from Barry Butler, and you see all of his images on Facebook.
Oh, he's got the best stuff. Yeah. He documents the city better
Absolutely.
Than anybody.
And I just asked him on Facebook if he wanted to come. He was born in Wexford in Ireland, and
oh,
he
nice.
Grew up here, and he just spent the last week in Ireland shooting some pictures. But you see the pictures he shoots of dyeing the river green
yes.
and all the great city shots.
That's terrific.
So he's with us all weekend. And then if you go right. into the library, we have language, genealogy lessons. We have one-act plays. So it's really nice to get a sense of what we're teaching and what we're doing
yes.
all year long.
And it's a great thing for the whole family. There's activities for kids. The
yes.
White Sox are going to be very involved with
yes.
some activities
mm-hmm.
this weekend. We love that here.
Yes.
And of course, we will get back to some of the activities, but let's turn our focus a little bit, because people think of fest, they want something to drink. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend. Everything is going to be fantastic. So Daniel De Oliveira is here. He is with Romana Beverage. Connacht Distillery from Ireland is one of the main sponsors of Irish Fest. All right, Daniel, this is, first of all, I had never, you know, people think Irish whiskey, they think some of the more traditional ones, you know, the names that you may have heard before, Jameson, things like that. Ballyhoo is new to me, so tell me a little bit about Ballyhoo.
So Ballyhoo is it's a four-year-old Irish whiskey that spends time in spent American bourbon barrels,
okay.
and then it's finished in port barrels. So it has a
Ooh.
Really nice light flavor. There's no color added, so it does look a little bit more clear than a lot of other Irish whiskeys on
okay.
the market.
Yeah, I noticed that when you were pouring it.
And I also think that, you know, when people think Irish whiskey, they don't normally think cocktails. They think, you know, shots or an Irish coffee, which is a delicious
exactly.
cocktail.
Or maybe a Jameson and ginger. That's as far as it goes.
But because of the versatility of the spirit, it can be mixed in a whole host of other cocktails. So tomorrow, when they come to see you for their drink tickets,
yes.
then they can come over and see me
Perfect.
To make the drinks for them. Although... it's news to me that we're not allowed to drink until the shift's over.
Well, you
so
can't. See, you can't. You're not handling money. I got to count. And they're, I don't know. The Irish, we're very persnickety when it comes to money. You know, it's like, really? I can't just get the slosh. And they go, yeah, I think here's some money. Here's
well, we
money.
Make Brian work because he is the MC for the Irish American Hall of Fame dinner that we have every year. And that's the payoff, that he's got to volunteer. And then we let him put on a suit and be the MC.
I enjoy volunteering. I enjoy being up there. This is I'm breaking news right here. I went home and said that I may jump in with the fest committee.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's right. I love it. All right, so let's get to this first cocktail. This looks refreshing. Kevin and Violetta, there's some cocktails in here.
Oh, we've got
around,
oh, you've got
yes.
them. All right, good.
So we're here featuring Ballyhoo Irish Whiskey, but then we're also featuring Brothership, which
yes,
is
yes. And tell me a little bit about that.
Right, so Brothership is a combination of Irish whiskey and American whiskey. So they kind of blend them together. It's like no other spirit that I've ever tasted before, and it's fantastic. So we're going to get to that in cocktail number two. But cocktail
okay.
number one is a really simple cocktail called an Irish Buck. And
okay.
it's an ounce and a half of Ballyhoo Irish whiskey topped with ginger beer and just a squeeze of fresh lime. An easy drink to make at
Ooh.
Home. refreshing, perfect on a hot summer Chicago day.
This is the kind of drink that is dangerous. Because it is so light and so refreshing that after about six, you're going to forget that you were even drinking.
This is true.
But I like that. Six. So, six, you heard me, Violetta. Six.
So give me the recipe
again. Give me the recipe again.
It's 1.5 ounce of Ballyhoo Irish whiskey, okay. Topped with about 4 to 5 ounces of ginger beer, okay. And a squeeze of lime.
I hear a lot about the ginger beer. What exactly is ginger beer?
It's
not
just,
ginger ale, right?
No, it's just a spicy ginger soda. So it's similar to ginger ale, not as sweet. There's a lot of different brands out there, but the brand that I like to use is Barrett's because it just has that spicy ginger kick that you want in a cocktail.
Yeah, there's nothing sweet about this drink, but it's very crisp, very light, very easy going. I enjoy that. And this was called an Irish Buck?
Correct.
Irish Buck. All right. Very nice. I'm going to make some notes of that. Irish Buck. Let's do this, and then we're going to come back. Daniel has two more drinks that we're going to sample. We're going to hear a little bit more because Kathy left out, you know, a number of wonderful things at Irish Fest, which is happening right now. If you leave now, it's starting at 6. So I can say it starts right now. Tonight, from 6 to midnight, the Irish American Heritage Center is at 4626 North Knox Avenue in Chicago. Ballyhoo Irish Whiskey, Brothership Irish Whiskey, and our friends at Connect Whiskey Company from Ireland. They are one of the big sponsors of Irish Fest at the Irish American Heritage Center. So let's do this. We'll find out what Ryan's got going on at the top of the hour.
Stay out of the water. I'll tell you why coming up.
Wow, that was harsh and very frightening. All right, now it's time to check traffic trouble spots. Violetta, tomorrow you need to be, or tonight, or Sunday. I'm not going to tell you what day you need to go, but you need to go to the Irish Fest at the Irish American Heritage Center, 4626 North Knox Avenue. Do you like music? Well, there's six stages of music. Do you like culture? Well, there's lots of culture. Do you like Irish wolfhounds? Do we have those, Kathy O'Neill? Do we have some Irish wolfhounds?
We do. The Great Lakes Wolfhound Association comes out on Saturday and Sunday, and they give a talk about the breed.
Nice.
And also, there's probably about 9 or 10 dogs who come out and hang out, and they're a very gentle breed.
They are very gentle. Yeah. They look like monsters. They're gigantic.
I think they look like Muppets.
Yeah, they do. They look like Fraggle Rock has come to life and is sitting up at the Irish American Heritage Center.
But they're very friendly, and they're there for a while, and we put them in the shade, and kids can come by and pet them. And meet them.
Mm-hmm. And there's a Bauron demonstration. Is that happening again
this
year?
Your music teacher is teaching, yes. And we also have different demonstrations of Illan pipes, which are a different type of bagpipe.
Yes. Very nice.
It's really nice. It's a really great way for everybody to kind of just get a taste of Irish culture, whether you're just Irish for the day or you want to learn more.
And if you were enjoying Irish culture, there's no better way to do it than with a fine cocktail. Daniel De Oliveira is here. He is with Romana Beverage. Connacht Distillery in Ireland is one of the big sponsors of Irish Fest. Ballyhoo Irish Whiskey and Brothership Irish Whiskey. We were having some cocktails. We had an Irish Buck, which is delicious with some of the Ballyhoo. And now, Daniel, well, first tell people when you are going to be there, because you are actually going to be making drinks, and you are going to be doing some tastings at Irish Fest.
Correct. I'll be there from 4 to 8 tomorrow, and there's 2 30-minute whiskey presentations going on during that time. And then I'll also be there from 6 to 11. There's 2 more whiskey demonstrations going on at that time as
well. Very nice. And will you be making some of these cocktails, or what are you making?
We're just leading a tasting and tasting the spirits on their own.
Perfect.
Getting people to experience the beautiful whiskey that is from Ireland.
Well, when a giant guy in a kilt wanders up to you and he looks vaguely familiar, it'll be me. So we'll come over and we'll try some of that. Okay, so Ballyhoo is aged again in
aged for 4 years in spent American bourbon barrels, and then the Brothership, and it's finished in port wine barrels, and then the Brothership is an Irish American blend of both Irish whiskey and 10-year aged American whiskey. So it's the cocktail that I have served for you is a stirred cocktail. It's literally just an Irish American old fashioned. That's really all it is.
See, and old fashions, you know, if you're here, you're in Wisconsin, old fashions are the way to go. So tell me what is in your old fashioned.
So it is 2 ounces of Brothership, 2 bar spoons of 2-to-1 simple syrup, a couple dashes of orange bitters and a couple dashes of Angostura with a little orange peel on top. Simple, easy breezy.
This one's my favorite.
This is very good. And not sometimes people make an old fashioned, they go heavy on the bitters.
Right.
This one, they're just the hint of the
bitters. We have the orange peel on here.
So this is the way to Violetta's heart is an old fashioned, it appears.
Noted, Violetta. Noted.
Daniel.
And I think this one's extra strong, which is another good way.
And this one is made with the Brothership.
Correct.
Now, Is it a more difficult process to get the American whiskey to blend with, you know, and to bring it over? How do they do this? How does Connacht do this?
Well, we have a distillery in Ireland, and then we also have a distillery in Philadelphia. Okay. So they bring they bring the Irish whiskey to America or vice versa, but
somehow the two meet
and are blended in a beautiful, harmonious.
Listen, if whiskeys can reach across the ocean to unite as one, can't we all do the same?
This is true.
This is why booze can bring us together. People think sometimes booze divides us. No, booze can bring us together. Because I was, you know, I've had a long day. I looked at this last cocktail and I said, is that an oyster? But I was looking at it from a distance and I'm a little, you know, I'm goofy. So there's this looks very tropical. It looks very fun. What is this drink and what is floating in it?
All right. So this is just a riff on a whiskey sour. I wanted to show the versatility of the Ballyhoo Irish whiskey and just do a traditional whiskey sour. But just to kind of, with the wonderful weather we're having in Chicago, just to kind of do a little twist, I added some fresh passion fruit syrup, and then I garnished it with the fresh passion fruit right on top.
Man, have you ever seen something like this, Kathy? This looks fancy.
I have not. It looks really great. I'm definitely going to try one this weekend.
I was going to say, you have to. Would you like one now?
No, thank you. I have to get back to work.
No, right. You'll be fine. Have a sip.
Yeah, really. You're going to be in the Uber for about an hour and a half
chug, chug, chug.
Easy.
We're expecting 15,000 of my closest friends
tonight?
This weekend. No, but throughout the whole weekend.
It sounds like you could use a drink.
I was going to say, if anybody could use a drink, it would be you.
I think that we're storing some of the product in my office, Brian.
Oh, is that right?
I think Sunday night you might.
I happen to know where your office is. Oh, this is very nice. Tell me again what is in the sour here.
So it's 2 ounces of Ballyhoo Irish whiskey, an ounce of lemon juice, and then 3/4 ounce of passion fruit syrup.
Now, Daniel, you mentioned at the beginning that when people hear Irish whiskey, they don't usually think of cocktails. Now, is Ballyhoo, I'm guessing it's a fine whiskey that we could just sip on the rocks. We could just go straight up if we don't want to put it in a cocktail?
Definitely. Both of these products are fantastic on their own or over ice, but they're versatile enough where you could definitely make some fantastic cocktails with them.
And what is it? Is it the aging? Is it the barrel? What makes this whiskey more applicable for a cocktail than, say, some other Irish whiskeys?
You know, a lot of Irish whiskeys tend to be light in flavor.
Right.
So when you mix them with certain things, it's not that it gets lost, but it's just, it tends to blend itself a little bit more.
Okay.
It just tends to integrate itself a little bit better into the cocktail because it doesn't overpower. You can still use light flavors and they can still shine through. And like I said, with that first cocktail, that Buck, which is just an easy at-home cocktail to make,
easy. Even
if you're not like a big whiskey drinker, that's a cocktail that can kind of be, as I like to call it, a gateway drug.
Yes, that's one, you know, maybe I'll make it tonight for my wife. She'll get, you know, she'll like me again. That'll be nice. You know, yeah, listen, Kathy, you know my wife, a couple of Irish Bucks. She might actually tolerate me for a while. That's going to be very exciting. I'm going to have to whip one up, stop and get some of that ginger beer on the way home. And then you just squeeze the lime right in there. Just a little bit of lime.
Just one squeeze of lime,
one
and that's it.
One squeeze of lime, and you're. Oh man, that couldn't be easier.
Nope,
that couldn't be easier. These are all fantastic. Kevin, did you try them? Did you have a favorite?
Yeah, the one with just the real simple with the whiskey, and then just a little bit of the lime and the ginger beer. That's about
Buck.
A perfect summer drink right there
for you on the golf course. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yes, if I stray from beer, maybe I'll make that a couple cocktails for myself
that's
on
right.
the course.
Well, it's a nice twist on a Moscow Mule if you don't like vodka.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
Very refreshing. Perfect summer drink.
Fantastic. Connacht Whiskey Company from Ireland is the big sponsor, one of the big sponsors of Irish Fest. Irish Fest has a lot of wonderful sponsors. Ballyhoo Irish Whiskey, Brothership Irish Whiskey, and if you come up to Irish Fest this weekend, and I'm not saying if, you need to come to Irish Fest, tomorrow or Sunday, you can look up Daniel De Oliveira. He will be pouring... doing samplings from 4 to 8 tomorrow and 6 to 11 on Sunday. Stop by, say hello to Daniel, say you heard him here, and ask him for the recipes for these fantastic drinks. You'll give out recipes, right? They're not trade secrets.
Not at all.
The kind of guy who's going to go, and then, listen, I can't tell you what to do. So Ballyhoo Irish Whiskey, Brothership Irish Whiskey, and our friends at Connacht Whiskey Company from Ireland. All right, Kathy, anything that we've forgotten? We've told people there's fantastic music nonstop. We've told people that they can immerse themselves in Irish culture. We've told people they can have tea, they can have Irish coffee, they can see Irish dancers, they can see the Wolfhounds, they can have fun with the White Sox, bring your children. There's food, right?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of vendors.
Absolutely.
Of
we
other
have
things.
Indoor and outdoor vendors with everything from jewelry and t-shirts to CDs, artwork. to also some really great Irish American food, and then things like pizza and ice cream. But
well, yeah,
there's
you gotta
one
have a fest.
You want to try the Irish egg roll.
Oh, yes. Tell people what that is.
You know, it doesn't sound good, but it really
oh,
is.
Oh, they're so good. They are so good. Amazing. Come on, they're so good.
And you know, corned beef and cabbage.
Just in rolled up. Yeah. In fried. It sounds like
sometimes
what it is.
There's the sauce in there, and
yeah,
it kind of
like
all melts together.
Island dressing
oh,
kind of
man.
Deal. It's like a rolled up Reuben.
It's delicious.
Yes, it's a rolled up Reuben.
And it's so delicious. You got to get to the Irish Fest this weekend at the Irish American Heritage Center, 4626 North Knox Avenue in Chicago. You can go to irish-american.org and get all the information. Daniel, is there a good website for people who want to learn about Ballyhoo or Brothership Irish Whiskey? Can they go to Connacht Whiskey Company? I'm sure if you Google Connacht Whiskey Company, which is spelled C-O-N-N-A-C-H-T, Connacht Whiskey, you can learn all about Ballyhoo and Brothership Whiskeys. And stop by and see Daniel at the fest tomorrow and Sunday. He will be doing some presentations. You can sample this. And trust me, this, and I, listen, you know me, I've had a couple Irish whiskeys in my day. This is fantastic stuff, so enjoy yourself. See you at Irish Fest tomorrow. If you come up and buy tickets while I'm working, don't be rude, say hi. And don't try to look up my kilt, because I am authentic, all right? And I don't want you to be shocked. You heard it, Kathy. I may not be drinking, but I can be enjoying myself. Thank you, Kathy O'Neill. Good luck getting back. I'm sure you're not going to take your time. You are dedicated. You're going to get right back up to the center.
I'm going to get back there.
The fest has been open for a minute. How many thousands of people are already there?
Probably at least 10,000.
10,000 already. But don't let that scare you. You can still get up there. It's inside. It's outside. There's plenty of room. We should tell people quickly. I know we're late for the news. It's easy. There's remote parking. It's easily accessible.
Absolutely.
By the
you can,
public transport.
You can try and go and park in our north lot. If that's full, then you can go down to the Copernicus Center. The shuttles go back and forth all weekend.
All right. Fantastic. Irish-American.org. Thank you to... Daniel, thank you to Kathy.
Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
I must go to the news because I'm getting yelled at. But that's all right. I have a drink to settle my nerves. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news with Ryan Burrow. Hotel Room. The album is Love is an Outlaw, and the artist is Rory Carroll, and she is in the studio with me, hot off an appearance at the Haymarket Americana Concert Series, which happens at Haymarket Pub and Brewery on Randolph and Halsted. It's every Thursday night. Rory, welcome. Glad you're... I'm sorry, I didn't see you taking your sip of your old-fashioned. We like to welcome people in with a cocktail.
Yeah.
That's a good way to, you know, get the creative juices flowing, right?
I feel very, very welcomed right now.
Well, you are very welcome. I have to start with this. Because I know you've heard this before, but we talked about it earlier, and this is probably the best description I've ever heard of anyone. It's from Rolling Stone. Rory Carroll is a hobo, a convict, a former drug trafficker, an Appalachian trail hiker, and a train stowaway, but none of that quite compares to how bravely she talks about love.
Aww.
If in my entire life somebody made one sentence like that about me, I'd be done. And you have a long way to go. I was theorizing. You must have had an incredible life to this point. How does that sentence come to life? How do you become someone who that sentence is written about?
Well, I took a lot of chances in my life. In a lot of different things, and I'm lucky to be here right now.
So you were born here. You were born here in Chicago.
Yeah, I was born in Park Ridge.
And a nice, from what I read, a very traditional, quote unquote, traditional background. And then you decide that's not for me.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, Park Ridge, Irish Catholic family, big Irish Catholic, Chicago, super Chicago family. And I knew that it wasn't quite what I wanted, and I started traveling. I started hiking and hitchhiking and riding freight trains, and just kind of wanted to find something new. You know, it was like after I started seeking, different things would unfold in my path. And
was it when you first set out, was there one specific thing you were seeking, or was it just a feeling of restlessness that this place doesn't fit? There's something else. There's got to be something else because I'm not. This isn't it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm an adventurer at heart, and I think that, you know, when I come home to Chicago or when I'm with my family, I feel very safe and at home. But I've always wanted to seek out different ways of life and different types of the way that people live and cultures and, you know, mostly American alternative culture has been my focus. So sense of adventure, I guess.
And was music part of your story before you left, or was this something that on your adventures you kind of picked up?
It's something I accumulated. I learned how to play guitar from everyone I met. I had a backpacking guitar that I took with me on the Appalachian Trail and that I hiked when I was 20 years old, and I learned how to play from just different people that would teach me things, and that's pretty much how I've learned how to play guitar up to this point. It's just
really
learning from different people, and yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a good way to
so
learn.
The Appalachian Trail, that's a couple hundred miles, right?
Oh, it's a couple thousand
miles. That is a huge undertaking.
It was the beginning of it all. It's what kind of propelled me into this I can live in my car and be okay kind of existence. You know, when you're on the trail, all you have is your backpack, and
right.
And you learn how to fend for yourself that way. It's really freeing feeling.
It's a kind of life that, you know, it's romantic when somebody's reading it and, you know, it's, oh, this is how my art developed. Is it, when you're living it, it's got to be gratifying at some points, but it's got to be a rough row to hoe.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard choosing a life that you don't really know what's coming up next, or the things that you don't really see a lot of. Like you don't expect there to be such conflict, and then when you're in it, you just kind of get through and resolve it, and then you're stronger because of it, I guess. I've had a lot of very shady times. I'll just say that, you know, especially hitchhiking and riding trains and.
You jump on a freight train. You don't know who if anybody's in that car that you jump into.
It's illegal. So it's most
illegal.
It's most. So
and thankfully, you still,
so don't
have,
do
you still
it.
Have your legs.
It's
because
not.
I know, you know, there's always the story of somebody who's, oh, we're going to try to hop a freight because that's so romantic, and then
it's not as romantic. People think of it. It's like Woody Guthrie and Lead Belly, like waving to the people. It's like it's mostly just hiding from the cops. You know.
So now, do you think you could have been the artist you've become had you not gone through all these, as you said, shady experiences and things like that? Or is this, I mean, this is all part of your story. You needed this, right?
I think it's a background. It makes my life to this point make more sense of how I'm doing this. It's equally as crazy to jump on a freight train as it is to embark on a music career.
Yes.
So,
that is true.
So, you know, I kind of owe my music career to my irresponsible behavior.
So, all right. So you're living this life. You're having this adventure for good and for bad, whether it's the shady stuff or the great stuff. How then does the music career evolve? How does it happen? You're learning as you go, but you know, at some point you have to say, hey, here's my music.
And that's where I'm at now. You know, I'm, you know, in my 30s, and as everyone knows, in their 30s, they start to kind of get on a track. And I've, you know, taken those experiences and just kind of put myself on a more professional track at this point.
Okay,
you know,
like, so no more freight trains?
No more freight trains. No, I gave that up a
while
ago.
That's too disappointing. So the freight trains are done, the problems are done,
yep.
And now
it's just PTSD. You know? Okay.
So, you first you put out an album in 2010. Mm-hmm. How do you come off the rails and say and sit down and write an album at that point?
Yeah, well, I had a lot of material. You know, I bring my notebook everywhere I go, and that record was at a really kind of a pivotal point in my life. My brother had passed away, and before that, I was very irresponsible, and that kind of, you know, motivated me to go somewhere and do something. And so I cut that record and I dedicated it to him, and it was taking tragedy and putting it into something beautiful. So,
well, that happens a lot. You hear that story a lot, and it's mm-hmm. it's an awful thing that the tragedy has to happen, but then if something good can come out of it, it balances it out a little. It never negates it.
But. Of course, yeah, but it pushed me into being a little bit more responsible with my life, and, you know, and yeah, so I cut that record for him.
Very
so
nice.
Special one for me.
And the new album is Love is an Outlaw. Mm-hmm. Rory Carroll is in the studio with me. We're going to hear a live tune in just a couple of minutes. Learn how real Chicagoans live the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. That is Black Dog. The album is Love is an Outlaw. Rory Carroll is in the studio with me. She is the artist that you are hearing right now. Last night you were at Haymarket at the Haymarket Americana Concert Series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It's a really great thing. They do it every Thursday. It's free.
And, yeah.
And it's super neat. It's just really intimate, good, great music. A lot of the artists are from Nashville and Texas, and some local artists as well. And I think next week is Stephanie James and Brian Allison. But yeah, every Thursday they do it. So
there's two artists every Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So go check that out. So it was fun. And you're going to be at the LaPorte County Fair on July 10th.
Yeah.
The Door County Makerspace on July 14th. And my old stomping grounds, the Frankfort Bluegrass Festival in Frankfort, Illinois on July 15th. So that's a lot of fun. Give me the website where people can follow you and get all your music and find out what's happening.
Well, you can follow me on Instagram. Just at Rory, R-O-R-E-Y, Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, and then Instagram, Facebook, all that, and then it's RoryCarroll.com is my website.
Very nice. So you can find out all the great things. Now you're going to do a song for us. What do you got? What are you going to do for us?
Well, I'm going to do a song called Emily. It's about when a friend calls you up and they're crying, and you're just like, come on over, I got a bottle of wine.
I like those friends.
Yeah.
Those are the best kind of friends to have.
Yeah. And this friend in particular, you know, I knew her at a pretty low point in both of our lives. And so whenever, you know, she's complaining now, I'm like, well, remember how we were complete train wrecks in our early 20s? So, so this is a song called Emily. I was wrong or right, or if you just wanna fight all night, 'cause I got time for you, Emily. Now we can talk about what makes us mad, or we can think about what we don't have, but I have time for you, Emily. About what we did wrong, it wasn't all that bad. If we could get along with it, tell me your troubles, Emily. There's a place up on the roof at night where you can see the stars when the moon is light. You can tell me your troubles, Emily. Thank you.
I got a half a joint, a box of wine, three cigarettes, and all my time for you. Tell me your troubles, Emily. What's got you so depressed? And in this mess, I can see your eyes and they haven't slept. Would you lay down your troubles on me? About what we did wrong, it wasn't all that bad. If we could get along with it, tell me your troubles, Emily. There's a place up on the roof at night where you can see the stars when the moon is light. You can tell me your troubles, Emily. I met you years ago, I was almost 18. You had a needle in your pocket and your dog was mean. We were out on the streets, Emily. But look how far we've come, we clean up nice. You were always so pretty, even when you shaved your hair that night. We were 19, Emily. About what we did wrong, it wasn't all that bad. If we could get along with it, tell me your troubles, Emily. And there's a place up on the roof at night where you can see the stars when the moon is light. You can tell me your troubles, Emily.
Fantastic. Rory Carroll, Emily, you got a half a joint, a box of wine, a couple of smokes. I like it. That was fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Such a great experience.
RoryCarroll.com. That's Rory with an E. R-O-R-E-Y, Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L.com. The new album is Love is an Outlaw. And I know why you couldn't do that song. There is some, you know, maybe some NSFW lyrics for us. But go see Rory. She's going to be at the LaPorte County Fair, the Door County Maker Space on the 14th of July, and the Frankfurt Bluegrass Festival on July 15th. So you can go check her out. And again, that the write-up in that had to be a very cool thing, that write-up in Rolling Stone. That had to be the way
it
to
was
go.
A big. I called my mom immediately. It was
very
like,
nice. Very nice. Well, congratulations. Thank you for coming in. That
Thank
was terrific.
Thank you so much for having
Enjoy
me.
The rest of your time. And don't forget the Haymarket Americana Concert Series every Thursday night. There's two artists, one at 7:30, one at 9. It's free. So go over to Haymarket at Halsted and Randolph. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the program tomorrow, or part of the program today. I will talk to you again Sunday afternoon. And thank you to Jeff and Brian and Violetta and Kevin. I know they're all out drinking their cocktails. Rory is finishing up her old-fashioned, which I am about to now once I say goodbye, then I can finish things up as well. Was it good? The cocktail good?
Delicious.
Yeah, it's gone. So it must have been,
it's gone.
That's how I always figure. If something's gone, it must have been good. If it was bad, it would still be sitting around. All right, have a wonderful weekend. I will talk to you again, as I said, on Sunday. White Sox baseball coming up on the other side of the news. Andy Mazur has your pregame, and then Ed and DJ have all the action.